side of life. What a world I'm living in. Now I've got it all. I've had enough, I'm giving in. The sun is shining, melting the clouds away. Got me some blue sky. I'm breathing today. I know I'm burning. This is my final day. I'm gonna go out smiling. A king for a day.
Good evening. This is Carol Murphy, and you're listening to Heartstock Radio. This is a live call-in program. The number, go ahead and get a pen or a pencil and write this down, 406-491-1432. And today, we're really excited because we're interviewing Amy Henderson, and this is part of our Women in Business segment. And here with me in the studio is Clark, of course, who is our producer, and Lindsay Gordon. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, as I am as well. Alrighty, so I just wanted to also mention that we are on Twitter and Facebook. Go ahead and like us or email us at heartstockradio@gmail.com if you have anything to say or want to get in touch. So today we are interviewing Amy Henderson. Amy is currently the CEO and co-founder of 10 Lab, which is a venture focused on transforming the workplace with the power and the potential of parenthood. Really excited because this is a big issue for you, Lindsay.
It sure is. I can relate with this firsthand, so I'm excited about this interview today.
So Lindsay has four children.
I have four kids. I do.
Four lovely children, and you juggle a lot of other things as well.
Right, I sure do.
Really excited to hear from Amy, and just in a moment, Amy is going to come on and introduce herself, and we're going to have a little music break right now. Sit back and enjoy. This is beautiful. Hi, you're listening to Heartstock Radio, and we're with Amy Henderson. Amy, please tell our guests who you are and what you do.
Hi, everyone. It's really great to be here on this call with you. And so my name is Amy Henderson, and I am the co-founder and CEO of a venture called 10 Lab. And my background is that I'm a social entrepreneur, so I've started ventures to address some of the most pressing issues of our time. I decided to start 10 Lab when my third child was born, and I found myself a working mom with three kids, four and under, and I was really struggling with all the challenges and the demands that I was facing. But even more than the reality of my situation in terms of the logistics, I was conscious that I was facing a lot of bias, both in my own head and in the world around me. And so I started to do a lot of research, which is what led me to start 10 Lab. And the whole point of 10 Lab is we go into companies and we help them debunk all the myths around parenthood, the perception that's out there that is really pervasive, and there's tons of research to back this up, that women who become mothers are seen as less effective and less competent at work. And increasingly, dads who are seen to have any caregiving responsibilities are also stigmatized and seen as less valuable workers. And the exact opposite is true. So that's what we do. We go in and we help debunk that myth.
So in your research, what have you found? I'm really excited to hear about this because this is hard scientific data that you have, correct?
Right, right. So first, before I go into the research, I just want to be really clear that I'm not saying that parents are better than non-parents. I'm absolutely not saying that. What I'm saying is that a person who chooses to become a parent can use the experience of parenthood to forge themselves into a better version of their former self. So parents can outperform their former non-parent selves, not that parents outperform non-parents, because I think that's really important to say up front. So my research, what I started doing was I started calling, I was out on leave with my third child and in a bit of panic around how I was going to function with three kids, four and under. And so I started calling up the moms I admired, the working moms I admired, to figure out, to ask them, hey, how are you making it? How are you not only surviving, but, you know, some of them even seem to be thriving. And what I discovered during these conversations with the moms I admired is that they were performing better in their careers, not in spite of their children, but because of their children. And in fact, the vast majority of the women I called had that realization while they were talking to me. It hadn't ever occurred to them that this was true for them until I asked, and they began to sort of question into their own experience of working while mothering. And the reason they hadn't had that awareness yet is because they too had been inundated with so much negative messaging that they hadn't been able to see the truth. And so when I discovered this again and again, I've now done over 100 interviews, and this is a very common theme in my interviews, I thought, well, what other research can, you know, back up what I'm hearing? And I looked into research from a bunch of different disciplines, but the one that seems to be most effective in proving the validity of what these interviews unearthed is in the body of neuroscience that I found. And I'm happy to go into that in more detail, but there's just a lot of brain science to back up the fact that parenthood can increase your capacity for career performance.
Thank you, Amy. And, you know, that's something I can personally relate with. So our first question here that we wanted to ask, and I can relate with this as well, because I used to be a single mom, a young single mom with a job, and it was very challenging. And so one of the questions I had was, in what ways can employers better support single parents?
I mean, that's a great question, and a really important one, because the fastest growing segment of the U.S. workforce today is moms, 54% of whom have kids ages 3 and under, and many of whom are single moms. So employers need to figure this out.
Right.
And there's, you know, two different fronts that need to be addressed. You know, first you need to look at your policies that are on the books. You know, how long do you have for maternity leave? You know, how often do you, you know, promote and support women who are mothers, who are single mothers and rising into leadership positions? What is your travel policy? There's a lot of things that, logistical things that you need to look at from the company-wide standpoint. But the other thing, and this is where 10Lab, we definitely work on the policy side, but we're even more focused on the culture side, because what we've seen at a lot of the, you know, I'm in Silicon Valley, that's where our business is based, but we work nationally, but we've had a lot of experience with the tech companies where they have these exorbitant and really generous leave policies and all these other practices on the books, but the experience of the moms and engaged dads in that workplace doesn't match the generous benefits that they receive, that they feel as though they're discriminated against quite significantly. So what we do at 10Lab is we work to shift the culture so that parents aren't discriminated against and they're seen as the valuable workers that they are.
Yeah, and it really sounds to me like as employers embrace this, it creates a totally, completely different culture throughout the company that will make the business better. Is that true, you think?
That's definitely what we've seen. You know, a recent example, just yesterday there was an article in the news about GoDaddy and how, you know, they have a bad reputation because their initial series of ads were, you know, scantily clad women advertising their products. But they had a new CEO come in about a year and a half ago, and that CEO was determined to support a more inclusive workplace. And one of the things they found is that parents in particular were suffering in their performance reviews because they weren't logging in all hours of the day and night to respond promptly to emails. And so they did an analysis of whether or not responding promptly to emails had any impact on performance, and they found that it doesn't. And then they instituted a policy where people weren't allowed to negatively assess individuals who didn't promptly respond to emails, especially during after-work hours, because they found that that was negatively impacting the parents, especially the primary or single parents, and that that had a marked impact on the capacity for parents to rise up into higher positions within the company.
Fascinating, fascinating. So in about 5 minutes, we're going to open the phone lines. Again, our number, 406-491-1432. And Lindsay has a
Another question. So when I had my second child and I was married and I, he was probably only a couple months old and I was faced with going back to work, one of the things that I really struggled with is that I had to go into the employer's bathroom to pump my breast milk for my baby. And that was something that was really hard for me. It was a little bit embarrassing, of course, and uncomfortable. I ultimately ended up leaving that job and becoming a stay-at-home mom. But one of my questions for you is, what are your thoughts on better supporting breastfeeding moms in the workplace so that we aren't stuck in stalls on toilets, pumping our breast milk for our children while we're at work?
Which is, seems like a very sacred thing for a woman to
it
be
is.
Doing. Even
right?
Yeah,
even. It's important.
It is.
It was very important to me.
It's so important. Yeah. And, you know, this is such an important topic, and I'm really glad you brought it up. Breastfeeding moms in the workplace, it's such an important topic. And I'm, you know, the first company that we worked with is Plum Organics, the baby food company, and they are an example of an exceptional workplace, really supporting the moms they employ. They have in their office a separate room. It's called Get Pumped. And inside, it's so awesome. And it's a breastfeeding room just for moms. And it's got low light, and it's got magazines, and it's got comfy cushions where they can put their feet up, and they have hospital grade pumps in there so that moms don't even have to schlep their breast pumps back and forth. And from what I've been told, that, you know, the women who are breastfeeding moms there develop a real community with each other when they're in there pumping together and sharing stories with each other. And I've heard that from many of the companies who've developed these rooms for their moms, that it not only is it a place where they can go and, you know, pump milk in a way that feels really warm and safe, but it's also a place where they can build community with each other. And that's been a really strong saving grace for many of these moms.
Absolutely.
Another really important thing that I want to mention is that my friend Kate Torgerson, she was a working mom who had twins, and she had to go on a business trip when her twins were 7 months old, a long business trip, and she was committed to breastfeeding her children for the full recommended year and couldn't quite figure out how to pump enough milk before she left or how to ship her breast milk back when she was traveling. And so she ended up forming a company with her dad called Milk Stork that ships breast milk for traveling working women. And they're doing really well, and
wow,
they're in companies all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud of her, because there's innovations like that that moms are developing that are changing the landscape for working moms.
That's wonderful. I love hearing that.
It's very beautiful.
Well, thank you for for your response on that, Amy. It would be wonderful if all employers would embrace a Get Pumped room. Right, Carol?
I agree. I mean, I'm just envisioning it now.
Right? Oh, yes.
I'd want to go in there and just hang out with y'all.
Right. So our third question, Amy, was something that I had thought of that relates to married women and the support of their spouse. So in my opinion, I don't feel that married women could be as successful in their careers if they don't have a supportive spouse. So what are your thoughts for husbands, I guess, to be a support to their working wives while juggling parenthood?
Yeah. This is my favorite, one of my absolute favorite topics. And my relationship to working dads has definitely transformed in my career or in my experience as a working mom. With my first two kids, I was what sociologists call a gatekeeper to my husband. I really sort of kept him away and was like, no, I am superior to you in doing the tending for our children. I didn't feel that way about household chores, by the way. I was perfectly happy with him scrubbing the toilets. But when it came to caring for the children, I really felt like I was the superior one to him. And then my third child was born, and I couldn't gatekeep him anymore. It needed to be all hands on deck. And so he stepped it up and has been an incredible caretaker for our daughter in a way that has been really healthy for our relationship, but also for his relationship with the kids. What I want to say about that I think is particularly important is that in the interviews with the moms that I reached out to, the most successful ones were the ones who were able to not gatekeep the caring of their children and to successfully develop communities of support, particularly with their partners if they had them, and that there is a ton of research, and I'm going to refer to an amazing neuroscientist named Ruth Feldman, who's an adjunct professor at the Yale School of Medicine, and she's done a ton of research to show that women are not biologically superior to men in raising their children, that men actually have the capacity to activate the full maternal network in their brains that breastfeeding birth mothers have, so that dads can do the same thing to the same degree that moms. I mean, obviously they can't breastfeed and carry children, but they can activate their neural networks to the same sensitive degree as birth moms.
That's beautiful. And a good note to all you husbands out there. We're going to take a short music break, and we're going to come back and open our phone lines. Again, the number, 406-491-1432. Please call us. Thanks, Amy.
To the sparkling sands of a diamond dance, and all around me a voice will sound. This land was made for you and me. Oh, when the sun came shining and I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling, as the fog was lifting, our voice was chanting, this land was made for you and me. And as I went walking, I saw a sign there, and on the sign it said no trespassing, but on the other side it didn't say nothing. That sign was made for you and me. In the shadow of the steeple, I saw my people. By the relief forfeits, I see my people. As they stood there hungry, I stood there asking, is this land made for you and me? Or nobody living?
We're back. You're listening to Heartstock Radio, and this is Carol Murphy. I'm with Lindsay Gordon, and we're speaking with Amy Henderson. So, Amy, we're opening the phone lines now. Please call us at 406-491-1432. Any other interesting research that you've come across, Amy?
Yeah, well, we were just talking before the break about the importance of engaged partners in parenting for the career success of both parents. And another recent study that came out this year, actually, by the same researcher I mentioned, the same neurologist, Ruth Feldman, found that when parents both take an active role in caretaking, that not only can those parents become better parents to their children, you know, they're able to sensitize their neurobiological systems to be more in tune with their children, they're also able to sensitize their neurobiological systems to be more in tune with each other. That learning to collaborate to raise one's child increases your capacity to collaborate with your mate, and the implication is that it increases your capacity to collaborate more with other people beyond just your mate. So it applies to your career performance too, that you can, if you learn to collaborate more effectively with your partner in raising your children, you can also apply that capacity to your ability to partner more effectively with other people in your career. And there's tons of research to show that collaboration is the most effective form of engagement in any field, from, you know, the primate, you know, sort of orientation towards success to the corporate world.
It seems that we're just hardwired to be connected.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's beautiful. Lindsay has another question.
Well, and I just had a comment about that because, you know, like I was saying earlier, I went on to be a stay-at-home mom. I was a stay-at-home mom for 11 years. And then I guess I can very much relate with your research in parenthood strengthening you in the workplace, because when I came back to work after being a stay-at-home mom, I know that I felt like my work ethic was a lot stronger. I felt like I was more compassionate towards those around me. I felt I was more reliable, more organized. And I think it was because of all those years that I was a mom and raising children that it did. Yeah, it did benefit me very much when I went back into the workforce. So
kind of almost makes you step up your game, huh?
It sure does.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Any other tidbits for us, Amy?
Yeah, well, I mean, along those same lines, when I coded the interviews I'd conducted and I matched them with the neuroscience research that I found, there were five main capacities that were positively impacted by parenting. And the first one, you mentioned compassion, Lindsay. The first one was emotional intelligence, that people who were engaged parents increased their capacity for emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was that they were more efficient, and there's, you know, even primate research, and research on mice has shown that when they have at least one litter, even if they didn't birth the litter, but if they take responsibility for caring for the litter, mice that have at least one litter are up to five times more efficient at completing mazes and capturing prey than mice who haven't had a litter.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing, right?
That is amazing.
So we have a caller.
Oh, great.
Yes.
I'll get back to the points, but there's five main things, and those are the first two.
Yes. We'll have an opportunity to finish up with that, but I do want to let our caller ask you a question. This is Leanna. Leanna, can you hear us?
I can.
Awesome. Go ahead and ask Amy your question.
One of the things that I've seen through my years of employment is the parents that work for some large employers and some small employers have issues because with absenteeism. The policies state they're allowed so many absentees within a period of time, and then because they have multiple children, you know, as kids do, one gets a cold, next one gets a cold, next one, and they're not always within the same week necessarily. So then the parents are receive disciplinary actions because they've exceeded their absenteeism. Have you seen any way that there's a solution to this issue?
So yes, absenteeism. What happens when you have multiple children and they all seem to get sick one right after the other and you exceed your sick leave? What can employers do for this situation?
Oh, yeah, that we just had that in our house. yeah, that is such a challenge, isn't it? You know, it really depends on, there's so many different ways to answer that question. The first one would be that we absolutely need a federal policy for paid family leave. One does not exist, and we absolutely need one to allow for parents and others to take paid time off to care for their loved ones. So that's the first thing that needs to happen at a federal level. At a company level, you know, there's a ton of research that shows that when you empower your employees by giving them flexible schedules and letting them autonomously drive towards reaching their goals, that they're way more productive in the long run than if you micromanage their time and, you know, don't allow them to have ownership of their work. So in the case of moms and dads who are tending to children who are cyclically getting each other sick and requiring them to take time off, I would say that in a workplace, if you can empower all of your employees, not just your parents, to complete their work in a flexible way, whether that's at home or at work, in a way that allows them to maximize their productivity on their own terms in their own way, that you will see a beneficial end result, whether that's for parents who need to be able to stay at home or that's for other people in the workplace who know that they're more productive during hours that operate on their own schedule.
Yes, I've seen this at Zappos. They really took this on and have thought outside the box, and it's a very, very happy place. In fact, that was one of their goals, is to create happy employees so that they would have happy customers. So very true. Okay, so let's go back to the list of five, and we've got probably about 5 minutes left of our program here, and let's see what else is on that list, Amy.
Yeah, so emotional intelligence, efficiency, courage. This is really interesting. There was a neuroscientist who did a bunch of research putting people under fMRI machines and watching what happens to them in their simulated environments. And he found that love, when a brain experiences love, it actually looks like the absence of fear. And so people who become parents, who are engaged parents, who are washed in that sort of love experience, they actually decrease their brain's experience of fear. And so many of the parents I interviewed reported going back to work or, engaging in parenthood and being and being in their careers, that they actually had greater courage. They were able to stand up for the things that mattered for them, ask for those promotions, ask for those raises, and push back the barriers that had previously limited them. So courage is the third one. And then another really important one is resilience. And I think the resilience comes from the fact that when you become a parent, you have to develop a broader network of support. And we all know that working well with others is what increases our capacity to not only survive, but also thrive. So resilience is the fourth one. And then the last one is focus, that parents increase their capacity to focus.
Not surprising.
We're sitting here nodding. I'm nodding my head as you say all of this because, I've experienced it myself. So that's wonderful.
So, Amy, please tell our listeners how they might reach you.
Yeah, so you can reach me at amy@tendlab.com, and I'd love to hear from you.
Tendlab.com. So you have a partner also. I was wondering if maybe you could speak a little bit about your co-founder.
Yeah, so my co-founder was one of the first women that I interviewed, and at the time she was serving as Twitter's original VP of HR and then diversity. So she was the person who took them from 80 employees in San Francisco through their initial public offering to thousands of employees all over the world, and had played a really key role in helping the company expand and grow to what it has become. And while she was there, she had two of her three children and started several programs to more meaningfully support moms, dads, and the managers who worked with them. And I was, enthralled by my interview with her, enthralled by her, really inspired by what she had done at Twitter. And I began to court her to join me in this work with TendLab. And the thing that finally let her decide that she wanted to jump in with me on this was when she had the realization that she feels, and this is also how I feel, that the companies who will succeed in the 21st century are the ones who encourage and foster the development of these skills that my research has identified, the skills that are developed while parenting, for the benefit of all employees. That if we can hold these up and elevate them for people that aren't parents, but for people who choose not to have kids or who are able to develop them through other means, you can certainly develop these capacities in a host of other ways. You can develop them through volunteering, for caring for an elder, for caring for a spouse, for choosing to be a more intimately engaged person in your community. And so that's why she's decided to join me, and that's why we're partnering in TendLab. Mm,
so beautiful. This is Carol Murphy, and you're listening to Heartstock. And today we interviewed Amy Henderson. Thank you so much, Amy. It's been
beautiful. Thank you, Amy.
And thanks for having me.
My end remark is that parenthood makes the world go round. Mm. It really does. Thank you, Amy.
Bye-bye for
now.
And make sure you listen next week, same time, same place. This is Heartstock.
KBMF is supported by M&M Trading Company, offering quartz, marble, and granite countertops to Western Montana. They also offer stone countertop installation services, as well as consultation for those looking to install their own. Their grand opening is on August 5th, and they're now hiring. More info on M&M Trading Company by phone at 406-219-8010 or online at m2countertops.com.
Greetings. My name is Gabrielle, and you are listening to KBMF LP Butte 102.5 FM. ButteAmericaRadio.org. Tune in. Listen up.
This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the